Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
So just in case there's anyone that hasn't been with us on the journey, I hope, in fact, I'll be interested halfway through, I will ask your feedback. I realized as I looked at it, it becomes, I could have moved on, that it's redundant a little bit, that, okay, we get it. Our mind is in control of our brain and not the other way around. That's God's intention, right? The brain is actually part of the body, which is the flesh. It's neither good nor bad. Scripture certainly leads us to believe that, not leads us to believe, interpretation of Scripture could lead one to believe, as I did, that my flesh is evil, that my body is bad, that I should actually almost be like the old, using a psyllus and self-flagellation, yeah. But the practice of that, there's also a word. But yes, self-flagellation, basically that will purge the sin out of our flesh, you know. But it's neither. It's just an instinctive substance that's just going to seek to be, have its needs met. And so it's self-focused, self-right, self-needing. And it's just going to go after that. That's its design. Not necessarily good or bad, but the mind, our mind, will, and emotion, which is seated in our heart, that leads our brain. That's the intention. And then we touched on last week the idea that our soul, rather than being led, our mind, our will, and emotions is our soul, rather than it being led by our brain, instead it can be led by our spirit. What spirit? We're not filled with the spirit of timidity, but instead a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. So we had just looked at, I realized the camera doesn't get to pick this up with the glare, and it doesn't matter, and it's just a mess, but in case someone wasn't with us, I've left it here this whole time because we have our soul or our mind, will, and emotions, designed to be in control of our brain, and that's important because there are triggers in life that want us to react the way we were trained by the world to react. And instead, we said that no, with our soul in control, that trigger results in a feeling. Maybe it's anger, maybe it's fear, maybe it's sadness, maybe it's offense, whatever the case might be. We have the opportunity to process and go, wait a minute, and choose life, choose our new creation identity, choose to experience His best. So we then went to a place of, very often we're walking around in areas of our life where we don't know what we don't know. We don't even know what we don't know, right? But then, if we'll allow the Spirit to lead us, and if we'll enrich ourselves with the grace teachings that are available on this in the Word, in fellowship, in relationship, in good teachings, whatever, as we allow the Holy Spirit to reveal what it means to be loved by the Creator of all things, as our Father, what it means to have no condemnation, what it means to be free, we interpret things properly, and all of a sudden we come to know what we don't know. I don't know what to do about the fact that every time this happens, I react like this. I don't even know what to do, but at least I now know that that's not His best and that I react that way, and this is the trigger, which then I can move to knowing what to do. Oh, when that happens, I'm going to remember He's my provider, He's my protector, or whatever the example, which we're going to look at some today. And then finally, with enough choosing, and a question came up, do you have to choose? Do you have to do any of this? No, you can just go, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You take the wheel, Jesus. I give up. And my suggestion last time, and I know you know this and have had this as well, there will be areas, though, where just resting in Him, the Spirit will lead you in rest to all of a sudden be active in the process. So sometimes you really don't have to do anything. I don't know what to do, God. I don't even want to think about it, because thinking about it causes me to squeeze the wheel again and to start to get anxious or whatever. So I rest in you. And that's the right response. And sometimes in that growing maturity is, I believe and want to study it more and get support, but maturity in Christ is dependence on Christ. The more dependent we become on Christ, the more mature we are. So it's the opposite of human maturity. Human maturity is the more self-reliant I become, the more mature I am. The more I know, the more I can discern, the more mature I am. Now we're feeding my legalistic, fleshly nature. The more I know, the more I can control and be. So instead, the more surrendered I am to Christ, the more, in fact, it was something I found, it'll come up later, but since it's triggering now. You know where he refers to the centurion after the centurion asks for? In case you don't, there's a Roman soldier that comes to Christ and asks for Christ to help him with a situation. And Christ says, I'll go with you. And he says, no need. And he goes over the order of the kingdom, and he likens it to, I'm a military man. I understand. If my superior tells me to do something, he doesn't have to wonder if I'm going to do it. I do it. So all you need is speak it, and it will be done. And Christ says, this faith I have not known amongst you. This is, no greater faith have I seen. What's the difference between the centurion and, say, the person at the well, or the leper, or the woman that had the blood issue? And there's plenty. So the one the Spirit just inspired me with this morning, leave it cracked though, if you would. Thank you, Sal. Sal, I love when you walk in with color. It just the highlight that the Holy Spirit wanted for today, I believe. Good morning, Sal. Come sit, relax. I wish I could say come eat, relax, but we have no food. So what's that? Yes, we have spiritual food. Thank you. So the three other examples I gave, did they have a choice? I mean, they needed the answer. They were at a place of, what do I have to lose? She was at her end of herself after X number of years, I think some say 12 or 14 or something, needing an answer. Like, she'd rather be dead almost than continue to live under that condition. If you're a leper, I can only imagine you've got nothing to lose. You're at your end. So you have, why not believe? Here was a centurion who probably had it going on. As a centurion, you were an upper middle class, whatever. You had credibility. You had honor in the community. He was probably doing okay. I'm not saying he wasn't concerned about the sick child, was it?
Yeah, he was
concerned. Yeah. Of course he was concerned, but was he in a position of as distraught as the other examples? So not only did he believe in the authority of Christ before Christ's authority had been fully proclaimed to the earth, he also was choosing to believe even when it wasn't as critical. It's just something that was just twist. I'm not saying that was the intention. I'm just saying that's where God took me to. How so?
The child who was not there.
Okay. Yeah, there's that's okay. Interesting.
Supposedly had options.
Whether that's true or not, I don't know. I just
Probably had money, power.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah.
Could have hired a doctor.
Yeah. Well, and the only reason I brought it up, and we'll come to this in just a minute, I brought it in out of order, but it was where we then ended up going is that not only the responsive, reflexive, as we continue to rely on him more and more and more, then there are areas of our life, and you already have them, that are responsive, reflexive. Something tries to trigger and you go, wait a minute. No, I know my God. I know his love. In this area, you don't compartmentalize it, but there's just areas where you're grounded. And then there's other triggers that come along, and that's not necessarily the case yet. Now, in the spirit, it is. You're seated in heavenly places. You're made in his image. Does he have any flaws in his image? No. And you're made in that image. 1 Corinthians 3:17, when we turn to the Lord, right? The spirit comes, and it's the spirit of liberty, and we look as if in a mirror to see. So what do you see in a mirror? But we're looking at God as the mirror. So if he's the mirror, literally, we're seeing, which I know this bothers people to hear sometimes, but you are Christ. So Sal is Sal Christ on the earth. He's the reflection of Christ on the earth. He is literally the walking image of God on the earth. So are you. And that'll come up in a minute. I want to finish the review. We're there, other than just to say, we wrapped up with that a book of Josh McDowell's, Lord, Lunatic or Liar. And the reason we went there last time was to explore that logical approach that takes you to where, what do you have to lose? One way to get to where, what do you have to lose, is when you're at rock bottom. When you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, that's when something will change in your life. There is a truth to that, but that's not how God works. I see a lot of head nodding, but I promise you the world has tried to get you and me to believe that really sometimes we need persecution. We need a sickness. We need calamity. That God, you know, okay, I know he doesn't like it, but he did a good thing with it. And a great friend, we were talking recently, and the person was giving an example of how cancer came into this particular household, and it brought their marriage closer together. And there was an aspect for anyone listening going, oh, wow, that's beautiful. Out of something bad came something good. But it's a lie from the pit of hell. God wanted that marriage to be stronger without cancer. Did he use it and work all things together for good? Yes. But did he bring cancer? No. It's a fallen world. The enemy has power on the earth. Can he send an image of such a thing? Can he whisper the probabilities of something in our ear and we come into alignment and experience it? Yes. Do I have a pinky that's shorter than my other pinky that got cut off? Yes. That's not going to be fake and pretend that didn't happen. And it hurt when it did. But he didn't do it so that I would learn something. Yes, Sal. Hold on. Before you go.
They keep saying that we have to through the suffering that Jesus went through. I heard this preacher, you know, that is exactly, I tell you the name, Perry Stone, okay?
Yep.
That he, the other night, and he was preaching about the book of Job, okay? And then he says, I told my son Jonathan, okay, to ask God to forgive every night before he go to sleep. He has to ask God to forgive him every single night. Okay? Yeah. And then he said that the suffering of Job, okay, God allowed it. Okay? So we all go through that. Okay?
Yeah. You're just revealing, and it's so true, you're revealing the teachings that are out there of people that are of good intention. The person you happen to mention, I know of, he loves the law, and the law is beautiful. I'm not a hater of the law, but he loves the law. He loves the study of Hebrew. He loves the study and there's beauty in it as a history that points to Christ, that points to man's need for a Savior. But that Savior came, and that Savior paid it all, which is where we're going. So we could go on and on about questions, and they're great, that would point us to... Here's where I'm believing and hoping we're going to peel back some layers. We could talk about the obvious teachings that would lead us astray. What I'm hoping we're going to do today is look at things that reveal that root that got missed, that's there, but you don't even know it's there. So, anybody seen weed gardens that are pretty? There are weed gardens that are pretty. Like some people plant flowers, and they're actually pretty, but they're weeds. And weeds, I think, don't bring any value. They just suck the nutrient. They don't give off any fruit. You know, I don't know. I'm not a botanical guy enough to make, but it'll sound great to say weeds are. they're parasitic and they're not good for your garden. And so that's my story and I'm sticking with it. Weeds, whether they, so there might be something that appears to serve you in some way or have some benefit. But if at their root, it's elevating law, it's elevating self-righteousness, self-dependence, then it is toxic and is worth getting out. The challenge with attempting to do that, I didn't bring the pens today because I didn't want to spend a lot of time on the board, is sometimes getting rid of something that even though you know it's bad, if it's comfortable, it's hard to get rid of. Did anyone have a pacifier or a blankie that you loved when you were a kid or you're told that you did? Okay, thanks, Oscar, for being honest, right? So are you glad you don't carry it today? It's undebatable, yeah. Okay, so I love the truly honesty. Yes, yeah, so, okay, but there goes my example. So we'll assume that the next time Oscar's going on a date or doing something, that he'll be glad that he doesn't have it with him. So, but the letting go of it, look, even now there's a part of me that goes, but there, it was so soft and it was so, so there's some of that for each of us, right? There's things that when we would see it, we'd go, that's ugly. I don't want that. That's not God's best for me. But to truly let it go is uncomfortable. And can feel almost life-threatening. So just getting to that point of that Lord lunatic liar, in case you weren't with us, it was just the concept that you can look at Christ in one of three ways. He was either Lord and what he said was true, or he was a lunatic and what he said wasn't true and he's crazy, or he was an outright liar. He knew what he was saying was. Now, the premise then goes to say, if you live a life that's enriched and free and faithful and trusting and living the book the way we that believe on the finished work of Christ, the intended good news of the gospel. If you live that life and live the peace and joy I'm experiencing and that I know you're experiencing, if you live that and it's a lie, you win. You still win. If you live it and he was a lunatic, you still win. And if he's right, you won here on earth and you win ever after. So you win regardless. But it was a way to help people get to the end of themselves and say, what do I have to lose? And so that opens the door for where we are today. What do I have to lose? The other piece was if our soul and mind is not going to be led or isn't intended to be led by our brain, then what is it intended to be led by? In Romans 8, whatever, the sons of God, those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God, right? We're intended to be led by our spirit, which is in step with the Holy Spirit. What spirit? A spirit from 2 Timothy that is a spirit not of timidity. And the word timidity to me there is not impactful enough. Well, so you're going where I want to go. Timidity, we don't usually call each other timid or this, that, or whatever. It's being afraid of anything. Shame, fear, uncertainty. That's not the spirit we have. We have a spirit that is certain. So power, which is dunamis, and is the word in the Greek. I was going to go to the definition, we won't today. It's powerful, okay? It's the power of God. Your spirit has the power of God. It's creative power. It's transformative power. It's the power that took me from an old lost soul to a new creation. It's miraculous. Okay, so it's power. The second one, love. It's love. It's all consuming. The entire world is divided into two things, love and it's life and death, love and not love. It's everything. There's this... but then that sound mind, some translations say discipline or what's another word it uses? Sound mind, self-disciplined, self-controlled. Well, it's confident. If you look up the word in the Greek, it's referring to, and I didn't write down the Greek word, but it's being non-doubting, assured. It's a mind that is assured. Can anyone relate to a place where you're not sure in an area, or can remember a time when you weren't sure? For me, it is such a disgusting feeling, especially now, knowing that assurance is mine. I know the, I'm asking, do you know what I'm about to describe? There's a state of being for me that I'm standing in right now that is completely sure. I'm assured of the fact that he loves me. I'm assured that nothing can change that. Not anything that any one of you think. Not anything. If you can imagine, I want to try and trigger something that might take you to an unsure place. There's a recording that will be on the internet perhaps for all times. There's people who can do a Google and find my name and see this thing and take something out of context or who knows what. So now imagine there's something you're going to share and it's going to be on tape and it's going to be there for all to see. There would be things that could cause one to be unsure in a setting like that. I see Barbara nodding because she's been up here and will be next week doing the same thing. So anyway, I'm sure, not because there's something about me. I know that assurance, that sound. I'm choosing to be led by my spirit in this moment. But I'm letting you know, because I know it, and I'm asking you if you relate, I also know when I'm not in this persona, when I'm not in this state of being, when I feel unsure. And now that I know sure, I don't want to live there. Right? What's amazing is there's times where I end up there and I stay there for minutes, hours, days. It's amazing how mad Beth and I can stay at each other. It's getting shorter and shorter and shorter when we know it's putrid, it's no fun, it's, you know, like, it's just... But I'm like, what am I doing? It finally usually takes, it could be a few hours, it could be a day, it could be a day and a half, too. I'm going, what is my gain here? Why am I holding on to this unsureness about her love for me, my love for her, just us being, who cares? What was it? And it was whatever. Who knows what the silly thing was? So I see heads nodding. Okay, so we're done with that. We'll get rid of that. We might point to it now and then. So that was what led me to the whole centurion thing and thinking, you know what, let's not have to have calamity or have the trigger create less than, create weeds in our garden before we choose to build a new responsive, reflective success space in our life. So in other words, we've all agreed there's places where you know that sureness. There also, it seems like, agreement that there are times where I don't know why, but I find myself unsure or feeling emotions that don't align with peace and joy. So I was trying to think what would be a trigger, and I was led to the concept of offense or anger. Take a minute and give some thought. What's something that offends you or gets you angry? I don't care if it's something other people do, politics, something a loved one does that drives you batty. I wanted to dig even deeper, but I'll wait. We'll just see what you come up with first. Anybody coming up with some? You don't have to share, but okay. Whew, that's okay. Fortunately, he's never wrong, though, right? So you're safe, okay? Okay, being wrong. What else?
I battle with my daughter, okay, for what she went through, okay, but you know, and the enemy always, you know, put a fear, okay, no timidity, shame,
okay,
and doubt, and condemnation. And I told my daughter, I says, do you know that God is a great
for her or for you?
Her.
But I'm asking for you, what offends you? What's something that...
That's what I'm
okay, sorry.
I see my daughter, she put down herself,
yeah,
without saying, I know he's my God, I know he's my Lord, I know that he take care of me, okay? So, and she, like, I said, last night, She went out and she started feeling dizzy and she started the heart palpitation. And then she called, come over because I'm going to feel sick. I cannot sleep tonight. I said, no. I said, you got nothing. I said, go to sleep, relax. You will be fine. Please, I said.
Yeah.
Half an hour later, she goes, I'm okay. Okay. So that's what it makes me upset because I say, you know who is in you, who is in me. Okay. Sometimes we do not speak, even though we're children, with authority of the Spirit of the Lord.
So, but okay, so forgetting about her, when you get upset, what is it that's that you're feeling in that moment?
Man, I got upset. I would abandon the wall. I would destroy everything.
Okay.
And then, 1 second later, okay, I hear, relax, I'm in control.
Okay, hold your story right there with what you just did. Perfect. That's great. Let's get some other examples. Any other examples of just... I've given it before. I want to give this, so I like the deep ones, but I also like the fact that if I'm driving the car and Beth's sitting in the passenger seat and I do a little something and she goes, dramatically grabs the side or goes, it's that. It triggers it. Now, I'm fortunately in the stage of I know what I know. So it triggers. It does go, there's synapses that go, judgment, rejection, and what you should do is say, you were fine, relax, right? Like that's the old reaction. And now instead, I know that I know that's not really what's going on. She's saying, I just want to feel safe. And even if you are right and we are okay, what's more important to you? You getting to drive the way you want or you being getting a choice of being part of me? Just creating an environment where I feel safe. You don't have control of my feelings. I don't want to go there. I'm not responsible for what she's feeling, but I have an opportunity. I'm just staying in my lane. Obviously not, or I wouldn't have gotten the... But I actually have a car now that corrects the lane. Like not just see. You take your hand off the wheel, it puts you back in the lane. Yeah, or even if you're driving, you feel it pull. So, like, if you cross the lane without the blinker on, it pulls me back. I'm like, what? I wanted to see her go, no. But anyway, right? So I'm just saying, what are the things like that that you take offense to? A little thing that triggers, because we'll follow mine for a moment. The root of that was condemnation. The root of my reaction, the trigger in the brain, was something that said, I'm being rejected. She's saying I'm a bad driver. She's saying she doesn't feel safe with me. It's rejection. And if I'm rejected, if you follow that route all the way down, it will always come to condemnation. And if you look up the word, I forgot the Greek word, but the Greek word for condemnation really isn't complicated. It is sentenced. You feel sentenced. You are condemned. You have been judged, found guilty, and sentenced. Okay? So, I come under condemnation. I literally choose to leave my seated position with Christ in that moment and put on the dunce cap that says, condemned. Condemned by him?
No.
No? So I self-appropriated condemnation, but Romans 8:1 says there is now no condemnation for anyone who is in Christ Jesus. Period. The Spirit of life has set me free from the spirit of sin and death. But the spirit of sin and death still roams the earth and is longing for me to hear it and choose to believe it and come under condemnation. And you as well. So, other offenses? Anybody get offended by politics at all? Come on, let's get real in here. Okay? Whichever side you are, by the way. Okay? The whatever side. So, we're not going to go any deeper for safe. But I'm just saying, that offense, it's been such a check for me in this season. Because there are things that I can't help but go, what you believe doesn't matter to me. The fact that you don't know why you believe what you believe and you hate anyone that doesn't believe the way you believe, that offends me. Now, by the way, I'm not suggesting offense is something to get rid of. The reaction to offense, taking it. Offense, we're going to wrap up with this. We might as well get there now because we're in the nine-minute wrap-up. Now that I look at the time, Ephesians 4:17-27. Paul says this, he says, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles walk, where their brain and their instinct guides their mind, their will, and their emotions. In the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding." The futility of their mind being darkened by understanding. Watch the language. This is so good, God. I didn't even think of this. The mind is in, what's futility mean? Okay, that was, what was the?
Senseless.
Senseless, futility, yeah, okay. So in the futility of the mind, so if your mind is not anchored to your spirit, he's saying right here, they're in the futility of their mind being darkened in their understanding because they're resting on understanding, on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, on remaining in control. I don't like being wrong. So if I can remain in my understanding, but that's a futility of the mind. Now you're free of that. We're free, again, he's pointing to, he's speaking to a non-believing existence, but it's still an opportunity for us to see the dynamic, darkened understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they having become callous have given themselves over to sensuality. Pause, we've talked about this before, but if you work with your hands, or I happen to have calluses here, okay? Those calluses are there to prevent me from feeling pain, right? That's why the body created it. But that callus can maintain, the metaphor here is that if we become calloused, we don't get rid of that lie that has me believing I'm being rejected. I'm calloused now. I can become callous to my wife's reaction of, and just go, she's dramatic. And a little piece of our relationship dies. Yes. A little bit of intimacy, because it's not safe, first of all, for her to even be that way. And so I got to get to where we're going, so let me keep going here. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity and greediness. Pause. I would suggest to you here that for those of you who knew a mixture gospel like I did, you've never necessarily, not never, I was never able to appreciate the intention of this scripture, because as soon as you start to go, having given themselves over to sensuality and the practice of every kind of impurity and greediness, I'm all of a sudden in a behavior mindset. You've changed my paradigm. I'm now looking at sensuality, impurity, greediness. That's not the point. The callous has given themselves over to a life of literally being in a radical love affair with being in control. The impureness of resting on instinct instead of on creation. It's not the behaviors. Yes, there was, those behaviors are acting out of something broken in the heart. But instead people go to, well, it's fornication. It's drunkenness. It's all these things, right? And those things, it's the root that matters. You can discipline yourself to stop drinking or to stop fornicating or to stop whatever and still have the very same impurity and very same sensuality of self-control, self-righteousness. That was a sidebar. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as trust is in Jesus, which in John 17, the miracle of the gospel, he refers to himself as being truth, and the truth that you are God, you have given to me, and I am in you and you are in me, and we now are in them. I've given it to them. The glory you gave me, I have given them to them. We are one. So, okay, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. Quick side note, one of our friends shared that this journey we've been on opened a door for works for him. He felt that if we're having to do this, isn't that a work? And it's not a have to, it's a get to. It's not, and the only thing you need to labor for is his rest. The only thing you need to labor for is the work of the Lord, it says in 1 Corinthians 15, 50 something. He says that is a work, but it's just a work to rest in. Believe on the one that he sent, he says in John. It's only 10:12. We're good, Jimmy. We can push this for 2 minutes longer. So this condemnation thing, here's where we were going with it. There's a part in Romans 2 where it's speaking to non-believers, so I wanted to be really sensitive here, okay? But it still illustrates something. When you judge, so I asked, do you take offense as an example? Did anyone think of areas where you do take offense? So you're actually in judgment of whatever it was that offended you. Does that make sense? So politics is an easy one. If someone believes this on the one side and you believe that, and they say it with vim and vigor, then you're in judgment of what they believe. But Romans 2 points out that with one finger pointed, you got a lot more fingers pointed back at you. It is the very thing you do. You're judging them for behaving the way you see yourself. We're looking at mankind as a mirror instead of God as a mirror. We opened up, remember 2 Corinthians 3:17, if you look at God as if a mirror, we're looking at mankind in a fallen world as a mirror. So no condemnation, but when you feel judgment, it's an opportunity to go, whoa, I didn't even know what I didn't know. What is the root here? What is offending me? I still don't agree, and that's okay, but why am I allowing it? Remember I said that state of surety, assurance? Well, I come out of that when all of a sudden I see certain political things. I go, that's stupid. And if you play that out, our world's over. Let's get guns and groceries and go live in the hills, right? I'm out of assurance. So I get to be aware that I've lost my assurance, my sound mind. So there's no longer any need to focus on the topic. It's about getting back into a sound, the just resting in, wait a minute, and then things fall into their proper order. So, God, you are so good. Thank you that you have given us sound minds and that is the place we get to live from. So I thank you for that truth. I thank you for that manifesting itself more and more and more in each and every one of us. You rock, God. Amen.